If there's any word that has lost its shine or status or luster in the modern world, I think the most important one, or the least interesting one today, would be the word obedience. Obey hasn't been in wedding vows for as long as I've been in ministry. Obedience took a bit of a hit during the post-World War II Nuremberg trials. It was not a defense to say I was being obedient to orders while committing war crimes. And during the questioning everything time of the 1960s, people didn't trust anybody over 30, and obedience took a hit. And we pretty much use obedience today in the modern world for training your dog, I think, in obedience school. But that's about all we ever use it, more or less. But I want to say a good word for obedience this morning. Not obedience to a boss, though, or not obedience to a human authority, but obedience to Jesus. Because what happens in the story this morning is Peter, even though he knows he's been fishing all night, even though Peter has dedicated his life to fishing and knows that he isn't going to catch any more, he knows the technique, he knows where the good spots on the Sea of Galilee are to catch fish. He knows he's not going to catch any. He is obedient to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. And so I want to put in a good word for obedience this morning, but obedience to God above all things. Now, I have heard, and you all have heard, plenty of sermons on this call of Peter that have went something like this. Point one, Jesus tells Peter, you're going to be fishers of men. Point two, that's what Jesus calls us to do as well. Point three, be like Peter. Point four, be a fisherman for God. Give it the old college try. Invite somebody to church next Sunday, and so on and so forth. And I'm not sure that's really the wrong way to preach that sermon. I've preached plenty of them, I'm sure. But I'm not sure that's what this text is really all about. There are places, perhaps, where it's more appropriate to preach that way, but not here. And the reason is this, because Peter is pretty much passive throughout the whole text. In other words, what behavior is there to imitate? We don't hear about Peter going out and starting to fish for people. We don't hear about that at all. The text really ends there. Instead, what Peter does that is exemplary, what Peter does that is to be imitated, is he pays attention to the voice of Jesus. He pays attention to the voice of Jesus, even though he knows, or thinks he knows, that this isn't going to go anyplace. When Jesus says, put out into the water for a catch, Peter says, okay, I'm going to do it. You're not going to find anything, but I'm going to do it. And of course, Jesus, being who he is, means that the catch is remarkable and miraculous. But here, Jesus does not lay out a plan. He doesn't lay out a blueprint. He doesn't even lay out a first principle. He just commands Peter to throw out his nets for a catch. And he does exactly what Jesus tells him to do, even though he doesn't understand it. And so perhaps in this story today, Jesus does the real casting. The real fisherman this morning is Jesus. And Peter, like us, is just the assistant. He's just the cabin boy, if you will. So the question becomes, if we're to assist Jesus in this world, how do we obey the voice of Jesus today? If Jesus is the one doing the casting and we're to be his assistants, how do we obey the voice of Jesus today? It's not as easy, I would propose to you, as when Jesus walked on earth in the flesh, because I haven't heard Jesus speak clearly and simply to me this morning as perhaps one of you did. It's not easy to hear Jesus speak clearly as a tone on the organ. You hear that, you know, when the children ring the bells before worship starts. You hear that. hearing Jesus is not of the same caliber, not of the same experience. How do we hear Jesus in 2017? As a matter of fact, I would propose to you that's one of the more difficult things for us to do in our modern world because of all the noise of modern society. We hear our own feelings. We hear our own Facebook posts. We hear our own Fitbits. We hear our own desire to walk so many steps, 10,000 steps a day. But how do we know how many steps Jesus wants us to walk today? How many things that Jesus wants us to do? Recently, a very well-known preacher, Christian preacher, nationally known Christian preacher this week, was asked about a particular political issue that's come up. And the person who was asking the question, the newspaper person who was asking the question, said, how do you reconcile this particular piece of controversial political matters with your biblical faith? And the person said, and I quote, and I don't want to get him wrong, he said, that's not a Bible thing. Now, I've spent 20 years in ministry. It's going to be 20 years in June. And I've spent 20 years of my life, and I have never encountered somebody coming into my office, and I said to them, you know what? That's not a Bible thing. I can't really answer your question there. That's not a Bible thing. That's something else. I've spent all my life trying to tell people that the Bible applies to every aspect of human existence. That there is no place that is outside of the realm of this book. That when we read this book, that everything is potentially a Bible thing. And I was a little disappointed in his words this week. Because if we agree that particular political positions are not a Bible thing, or particular things that I do in my life are not a Bible thing, just follow me down that trail for a second. Well, if it's not a Bible thing, where does the authority come from? How do I decide what kind of thing it is? Do I decide that the authority comes from my own personal understanding of the issue, my personal feelings and opinion? Or my political party, or sociology, or technology? Well, if I decide that that particular issue is decided based on my particular worldview, then doesn't that take God out of the equation? Doesn't that come dangerously close to violating the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. And I would, if I was ever asked, counsel this preacher that we have to learn to be obedient to the Bible in all parts of human life. We have to be obedient to all these things because anything else opens up the door to idolatry. So the question then becomes, back to where I was earlier, how do you understand what Jesus is talking about? How do you follow? How do you obey Jesus in 2017? Eugene Peterson, who is a Presbyterian pastor who is retired now but lived for many years as a pastor in Maryland, he writes that too many Christians accept their own feelings as the final truth about prayer or about God's judgment or about forgiveness or salvation or Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And he says, we don't do it with bad intent. We don't set out to do that. But we just do it. We think we know the answers. And we think that we can talk about prayer based on what happened to us 10 minutes ago. And we forget that we have this gift of thousands of years of Christian history. That we know how to deal with defeat because Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, tells us. We know how to obey the voice of God because Moses shows us on Mount Sinai when he receives the Ten Commandments what that means. We know how God is present when society is falling apart around your ears. Because we can look to Christian history and we can see Christians who preached and wrote like Augustine, as the Roman Empire is falling apart, he wrote a book this thick called The City of God, telling Christians what they should do when the outside world was falling apart. And we can look again and again at people who were obedient to Jesus Christ, and there's no magic formula to it. But we can look again and again to the Christian greats like John Wesley. We can look again and again to John Calvin. We can look at Mother Teresa. There are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, both inside Christian history, both inside this Bible, and outside of the Bible. But it can't be done alone. And I think this is the key point, that we can't listen to Jesus' voice on our own. That's why Jesus uses the image of the net rather than the rod and reel. To be knowledgeable of the ways of God's voice is like Peter to have two assistants, James and John. To be knowledgeable of what Jesus is calling us to do is not to listen to what Joseph says Emmanuel Church should do, but what we as a congregation say Christ is calling us to do. If we are truly to obey Jesus Christ, we're to put out for a catch. We're to put out for a catch together, even when experience tells us that that is fruitless and hopeless. If we are to catch the Word of God, if we are to catch the will of God and the voice of Jesus, then we are in this boat together. And the call of Christ is not for me to just buckle down a little bit more, is not for me to just try a little harder to invite somebody next Sunday, as good as that may be. But our call is to look back over history and say, what does Isaiah say about this? What did Paul say about the church? What does John say about the church in his gospel and in his letters? What does the book of Revelation teach us about tomorrow and about hope? What does John Calvin tell me? What do my Sunday school teachers from 30 some years ago, when I was as old as Miriam and Elizabeth, what did they teach me to do? You all have experiences like that. You had Sunday school teachers. You had people who brought you here. You had mom or dad, grandma or grandpa. You had aunts or uncles. You had preachers and pastors who taught you something about the Christian faith. So when we're called to put out for a catch, or to take and listen for the voice of Jesus as we throw out that net, we say to so many people, so many Christians, brothers and sisters, what is it that Jesus is calling us to do? And how can we respond to his voice? Then and only then, I think, will we truly know what Jesus means when he says we are to be obedient to him and fishers of people. Amen.